Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Impressive win at the Stadium of Light. Adkins Addicts are building some nice momentum. Welcome to Charlton Live. Charlton Live. Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I hope you are well. I am Louis Mendes, and joining me to look back at that very, very enjoyable 2-1 win up at the Stadium of Light. Yesterday, first up, a man who has made it back in one piece, surprisingly, Terry Smith. How are you doing, Tell?
Yeah, limbs are all attached, yeah. which surprises most people. Yeah. All good, thank you, mate.
I don't know what was more arduous, really. Obviously, the 5-hour drive either way, or you trying to get up to the point, because I'm right at the back of the highest stand.
I'll tell you what, both, but yeah, if they'd have warned me in advance, I'd have set up a base camp somewhere halfway up the stand. It was, it's a tall one, no question.
Yeah, and also join us to celebrate yesterday's fine victory that really has given the Addicts a very interesting chance, hasn't it, inside the race for the playoffs, is Mr. Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Evening all, yep, good, thanks, Louis.
Yeah, enjoyed watching it round your gaff yesterday, a few people round in the garden.
I did, yeah. A bit of a sore head, actually. I think I celebrated it a bit too hard.
Did you really? There we go.
Enjoyed
Got to enjoy the little victories as they come, don't you, Ben? Right, so on this evening's show, we will be looking back at yesterday's game. We're going to hear the highlights very shortly. Plenty of highlights, because it was an excellent game of football, actually. Two sides really going for it. And, of course, we're going to hear from the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins, as well. And we've got loads of your tweets and emails. We're asking you guys what you think about our chances now, who stood out for you in the game yesterday, all that sort of stuff. Before we get going, also, I want to wish a very happy birthday to a bit of a dedicated listener as well, Sue Tyler. I know it's your birthday on Monday, so I hope you have an excellent day. Sue, thanks for listening to the show. Terry, while we're reflecting on yesterday's victory, I mean, this time on Thursday, me and Lewis were begging that we can go up there and get a 0-0, but we didn't settle for that, did we?
No, indeed. And happy birthday, Sue, as well, by the way. But, yeah, a couple of things. Firstly, I think Benji's confusing alcohol with hypothermia if he was watching it in the garden. It must have been chuffing freezing. Funnily enough, I was invited to talk on a Sunderland podcast, and I pretty much was the same as you guys, you know, thinking, yeah, if we can get away with it, you know, mathematically, 3 points would be perfect. But, you know, with this form Sunderland are in, with the, you know, they're flying a bit, and a point will be good. If we can come away with there from a point, we'll settle for that. But as it turned out, we should have trusted Nigel Eakins and his team that they were going up with there with a slightly different mentality.
Yeah. And do you think, I mean, it felt like we were pretty good value for it as well, Trey, which is unusual. Oh,
absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think if you looked at the chances, then, you know, if it had been 4-all, you'd have probably understood. And Ben, we needed Ben Amos to be at his very best, and he was. I mean, the first save with that strong arm to deny Wyke was outstanding, and the one where it was chalked off for handball was world class, that save. But so we had to ride our luck's probably not the right phrase, but we had to, you know, we had to settle for the fact that Sunderland were going to make chances. They were quite route one, which surprised me at times, but it also surprised me that the game was quite open. I know that both managers, I think, said that it's a game that nobody wanted to draw, that both teams wanted to win it. And whilst I get that, I still thought we were a lot more open than I thought we were going to be. But no, I thought we were value for it. I think Sunderland will probably look at the chances they create and say, you know, we should have had more from the game. But I thought we looked dangerous when we went forward. They couldn't handle Stockley at all. Mainly because they got no centre-halves to speak of because they're all injured. But also, set pieces will look dangerous. Ryan Innes, we'd forgotten, I think, what a colossus that man is at set pieces. And so it proved with the goal quite what they'd... I think it was Scowcroft, wasn't it? On the bench, on the line. Quite what you thought he was doing, trying to clear the ball into the roof of the net. I don't know. But no, I thought we looked positive, dangerous. And I think we haven't looked... and we also looked confident, which is something we... You know, pre-Doncaster probably hadn't looked like we were for a while.
Yeah, I mean, when we went 2-0 up as well, I generally thought, oh, we're going to see this out quite comfortably. It was probably one little error, you know, one of the few that we made in terms of Ben Amos, because he had a superb game that ended up with them getting back into it. And it was a tortuous last 15 minutes or so, including about 12 minutes of added time the referee decided to play. He indicated 5, nothing really happened, and we still played over 6. I don't know what he was doing. But Ben, I mean, the atmosphere in your gaff, especially when Ryan Innes got that first goal, because I'm sure that made you a load of money.
I thought it had. I was bouncing around the place, yes, yes! And then the replay come up. Oh, and that, as Tel said, why is he booting it like that?
Yeah. Everyone who had Ryan in his first goal scorer gutted.
I had £3 on it, 50-1. So I was happy at one point, but yeah, a little bit guided. Yeah.
But I mean, what was it like holding on at the end? Did you feel confident that we would do it? I never do, but that's just me. I mean, at the same time, we didn't actually give away many chances. We let them cross the ball into the box all game, as that's what they do. But we tended to deal with it, and if not, we did have Ben Amos sort of backing up.
Yeah, I must admit, I got a little bit nervous when he did kind of make a defensive substitution with Gunter coming on. But if you look at how Sunderland score their goals, it's a lot of them are from crosses, McGeady getting down the wing, and Wyke headering them in. So if you can stop those crosses, which you just said, then you stop their way to goal. So I can understand that now, looking back in hindsight. And I saw a few people were moaning about it, but look, he didn't go the whole hog, didn't bring Watson on, didn't bring other defensive-minded players on. He just literally thought, how are they scoring goals? Well, if we put Gunter on, it'll block them crossing into the box. But yeah, I was pacing up and down the garden. It got to that stage where I thought, I'd come into the game, and I think it was probably only a few times this season where I've gone into the game a little bit nervous, because I thought, do you know what? If we win today, it'll give us that boost, and to show that we can do it, it'll give us the hope. And as look, the results went our way as well. But I just thought, look, it's a real big test on Sunderland. I think you built it up on Thursday's show that they have gone on this unbeaten run. They won the Johnson's Paint Trophy, or whatever, our Papa John's Trophy. So they got a bit of boost with a new manager and that. And We'd gone there, we'd beaten them, and I just was a little bit nervous, thinking, oh, please, let's hold on, pacing up and down the garden, hoping we would. And as you said, I don't think they really troubled us there. I think the sub of Gunter, I think he dragged us up the pitch a few times, won us a corner, free kick right up there, and it was good. And I think we held our discipline as well. It was a real solid performance defensively. And, I mean, look, Amos made two saves, which nearly stopped them scoring when they did score. So, all in all, to a man, I thought we really dug in and played really well.
Certainly did. Well, let's have a listen to the highlights then from Valley Pass. Your commentators, of course, with Steve Brown alongside them, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Just beaten to it by McKeady, who sends the ball into the box early. And it's a shot by Wyke just past the right-hand post. And Sunderland will feel they probably should have taken the lead there. I don't think that's Wyke, actually. I've got that wrong.
Yeah, I think it's O'Brien.
Gets cut out. Ball forward, though. Just taken by Prattley, but he's lost out to Wyke, who's at the edge of the penalty area. It's a lovely save by Ben Amos, and the attempted chip from Wyke to get it past the Charlton keeper, who did really well
to
stop it.
Quite halfway inside the Sunderland half, but not far off it on the just right of centre as Forster-Kaskis into the box. Stockley will challenge it. Possible own goal off the post in the end and cleared away by Sanderson for a corner. I didn't see him. Maybe it was O'Neill who got his head to that, guided it to the Sunderland right-hand post. And then Sanderson gets it away for the corner.
Forced outwards by Purrington, but Sunderland still have it.
McFadden out to McGeady. McGeady looking to take on Matthews. Cuts back in on his right foot, and it's a ball into the box.
Oh, what a save by Ben Amos. For all the world, that had to be a goal, although the linesman's now flagging whether he was offside or not. But
no, blatant handball. That was a punch into the back of the net. So I'm glad the linesman saw that. It was a blatant punch.
Charlie the corner forced Kasky to take as a number of players surrounding Burge in the six-yard box. Kasky looks towards the far post. Innes with the header. It's Innes has gone in. Ryan Innes has scored. Sunderland made a meal trying to clear it on the line. They couldn't do so. And Ryan Innes gets his first Charlton goal after 30 minutes at the Stadium of Light.
Or does he? Will they give that as an own goal against the goalkeeper or the player that just volleyed it into the top of the net? Because I'm not sure, Greg, that that's crossed the line before. I mean, the keeper's got to do better with that. Although it really did hop up off the turf, actually. I don't know if that's my imagination on the replay, but that looked like it really bounced quite high off the turf. But the keeper should deal with that better. And a defender on the line, I think, can do better than that. He just sort of casually slices it into the top of the net. But I think you're going to find that's an own goal. But we have looked threatening, actually, aerially.
Brian beats a couple of challenges. Matthews intercepts. The ball's worked over to the left-hand side. McFadden controls. Goes for goal. And it's a save by Ben Amos. Diving to his left to keep it out.
Back left, looking for Stockley. It'll go beyond him. But there is the half-time whistle.
Ball towards the edge of penalty. Well, read by Matthews. Comes down for the shot in the end. I think from McGeady. Half volley. Caught it well over the bar, but it's a decent effort from the former Charlton O'Neill. Jason Pearce tries to work it to the left-hand side and Powers misjudged his heading. It falls nicely to Giacimi. Giacimi cuts inside onto his right foot. Cross towards Stockley. Oh, he's hit the post. Stockley again. Oh, it's cleared away. And Charlton be wondering how they've not made it to.
Oh, Greg, that is the... he's been exceptional today, Stockley, but how has he missed
Stockley
that?
With the header. Gilby trying to get in of it. Gilby gets something on it. Gilby again. Can he finish? Yes, he can! Alex Gilby with his first Charlton goal. Stockley with the header. Gilby got on the end of it. Couldn't get the shot initially. Then works it below the goalkeeper. Lovely, tidy finish. And Alex Gilby makes it Sunderland 0, Charlton 2.
That's really poor from a Sunderland perspective. That is a throw-in. They've not dealt with the header with Stockley again. Gilby missed kicks and they don't react to that. And he finds himself 1v1 with a goalkeeper. I mean, look at that defending. You're not even close to winning that header. It's so milky. But you have to give credit to Gilby, who's taken a gamble on that flick-on, got there first, got ahead of his man, and then coolly slotted it underneath the oncoming Burge. But that's really poor from a Sunderland perspective, but we don't care. That's 2-0. We're in the box seat.
Stockley header finds Giacimi. Giacimi back out to Gilby, edge of the box. Takes the shot, saved away by Burge. Miller will meet it in the penalty area on the left-hand side, looking to get the ball back into Stockley. Oh, it's a poor touch from Stockley, has allowed Sunderland to clear it away.
On the right-hand side, McLaughlin. Ball forward to McGeady, who sends the ball long, asking Wyke to chase it. Innes will pursue him into the penalty area. Wyke gets there first. Another save from Amos, and another one. It's come out to
the edge of the penalty area and headed home, and Sunderland are back in this. Trying to see who finished that for Sunderland. Looked like Scowan, I think, who got his head to it on the edge of the penalty after Amos had made a couple of magnificent saves to keep Sunderland out. They are back in the game with 13 and a half minutes left of normal time. On the left off. Superb work from Miller to bring it forward. Beaten one man. He's in towards the edge of the penalty area, Miller. Can he take the shot away? Little touch right to Gilby. Gets a second chance and it's blocked away. Charlton had the ideal opportunity to make it three, and now Sunderland will bring it forward with time. Ball into the box. Stewart trying to get there. Innes heads it down. It'll drop to Wyke. Wyke out right to McGeady. McGeady back into the box. Amos thought about coming. It's a header down by Stewart. Straight into the arms of Ben Amos. Very good feel as Stockley goes into the corner. Receives it. And there is the final whistle. That's a huge 3 points for the Addicts here at the Stadium of Light.
Lovely jubbly. I think you can hear us all sort of shouting our relief when the full-time whistle went. I was certainly very relieved when that referee did finally decide to blow the full-time whistle. Terry, you know, the result of performance, excellent. The statement that that result makes, what about that to the rest of the teams looking for the top six?
I think statement's the right word as well, I think. It just shows that, I think if you'd have if teams had looked at the top six or the top ten, they'd have been looking to pick their top six. I don't think, and if you go back a few weeks, even a month, and they'd have been looking at that table and think they wouldn't have put us in that frame at all. You looked at the number of games we played and the number of games in hand that other teams had, and we were probably well outside the fancied positions. And now it's different. You know, we put a run together. We're what now, 8 unbeaten, and you know, Sunderland are where they are because of the unbeaten run they had. Peterborough are where they are for the same reason. Blackpool for the same reason. You know, teams that put that run together and can put that run together will be up there. And we're in, hopefully we're just in the middle of it, not towards the end, because, you know, we managed to go, 8 to 9 to 10 unbeaten in the early part of the season. If we can carry this going, and next week's going to be huge, by the way, Ipswich just below us. That's a statement right there. If this one, if yesterday's game was a statement, then next week's, if we can pull that off, will be an even bigger one, I think, because not just then you're looking at, I mean, before yesterday, we were looking to see if we can just nick that sixth spot. Well, now you look at the table now, it's opened up completely, and there's nothing to, you look at it, and there's nothing to say we can't even grab third or
come
fourth.
Come on, Terry, because, I'm going for the title. Come on. No.
Yeah, well, Sunderland have got to play Blackpool twice, by the way, and Blackpool are on fire, by the way. So, you know, Sunderland could conceivably drop points. They haven't got a centre-half to speak of. So, you know, with the 8 games or so they've got left, then they're going to be worried now, I think, Sunderland. If we can pull them apart, and Peterborough, they could only get a draw against. So, you know, anything's possible except for the top two, I think, at the moment. And if we can cement our place in the top six, I think, compared to what people were thinking a few weeks ago, let alone months, that'll be a surprise to most people.
Yeah, that result was a massive blow for Sunderland yesterday, especially with Peterborough going and getting that 3 points over at Swindon. It means that they will, they're now 5 points behind the top two, which makes it difficult for them. But I mean, for us, Benji, anyone who did go into that game slightly nervous, that opening 10 minutes or so probably didn't do their nerves any good. We saw big chances for Aidan O'Brien, and then the one where Prattley gave it away to Wyke and Amos made that save. Gave us a sort of a glimpse of what was to come from them. But I mean, you expect Sunderland to start well. They had gone 12 games unbeaten, and anyone who was unsure about that, you know, they would have seen what the sort of afternoon we're in for. But then just a couple of minutes later, you know, we had our first chance from a set piece, which we looked dangerous from all afternoon, the one that hit the post from Luke O'Neill.
Well, I thought their first chance, I thought it was in. I was just looking at the highlights earlier, and I think a few people in the ground thought it was in as well. Like, I heard a few shouts, like, yes. So that was a bit like on the edge of your seat, thinking, oh, blimey, is it going to be one of those days? I had that chance. Amos, I think Prattley dwelled on it in the middle, didn't he? And he got caught out, and it was a great breakaway. And what a save by Amos to not fully dive down, but kind of half go down and stick your arm up, made himself big. That was brilliant from him. So that really, like, you think, okay, let's try and build from this, maybe knock their confidence down a bit. And as you say, it was a great cross in from that free kick. And as Terry said, there are two of their makeshift centre-backs there. I think Luke O'Neill is normally a centre. I think Sanderson's normally a full-back. And you think that's a place to target because they're missing their centre-backs. And 09 there looked shaky, didn't he? And nearly headed it into his own goal. So we slowly then started to come into the game and built some momentum from that. And yeah, thanks to Ben Amos, because that really kept us in the game. And hopefully he can keep building confidence from that. And it really made stood us in good stead for the rest of the game then, because I thought slowly then we came into it. Because as you said, Sunderland were on such a good run. They're bouncing, thinking they can beat anyone. Had a few chances, might have knocked their confidence. It slowly built us into the game, and we managed to then make our game slowly up the field, and the defence looked solid after that.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously we know now with Ryan back, Terry, we are going to be so dangerous from set pieces again. You know, I think Stockley was probably playing that role maybe a month ago. You know, corners going in, you'd always expect him to get something. But Ryan Innes, I mean, he's so tall that he just needs to float a ball a little bit higher towards the far side, and he's going to win your header. Now, obviously, you know, we talked about Scowen's comedy attempt, but to clear it and ended up in the roof of his own net. But that's just what happens when Sunderland play us. You know, they scored 3 own goals in 7 minutes once. They nearly scored 2 own goals in the first half yesterday. They just love scoring own goals for us.
Well, own goals generally tend to be a feature of Sunderland-Charlton games if you go back to Wembley as well. So I think what they showed, I mean, joking aside, it shows the pressure that they were clearly under at the back from set pieces. But just generally, I thought, as I said before, I thought Stockley really just tortured their back line for the first half, and he was really unlucky not to get a goal himself in the second half with that header. Would have deserved it as well. And clearly Ben Amos was going to be around the match, but I think Stockley was awesome up top, and considering he was virtually on his own for a large chunk of the game, obviously he was helped as much as he could by the likes of Jaya Simi on one side and Martson on the other. But for the most part, he was I wouldn't say forlorn figure, because that's not fair, but you know, he was doing a lot of legwork and donkey work up top on his own. And that, you know, when the balls are released, especially when they did put us under pressure, when the balls are released out of defence or midfield, you need somebody strong up top. And he provided that, and he provided a foil for the likes of, you know, Forster, Caskey and Gilbert to just use that out ball to get the pressure off us. And that helps hugely, really does. And yeah, I think I don't think you can look at any part of the pitch and think there was no player that you could look at and think, well, yeah, they didn't really do much. You know, they were bailed out by somebody else. It was a huge effort from the whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, there was probably a couple of times, I'd say, in the first half where we gave up chances too easily, one of which actually came right after the goal. I think it was McGeady who had the shot that went across the face of goal. But, you know, I think in the second half, in terms of actual clear-cut chances, other than the goal itself, where was probably that one mad moment, I don't think we gave too much up, which was very pleasing. Now, Ben, obviously the second goal, Alex Gilby is first for the club. Didn't make it simple for himself. He sort of mishit the first shot, got a second one in and took a bit of a clattering off the goalkeeper. But, you know, pleased for Gilby. I mentioned last week I saw a little bit of something from him during the performance at Doncaster. And, you know, that goal, getting him off the mark at the club, that will do him the world of good.
Yeah, really pleased for Gilby. The start of the season, he looked really good. I think we said it before, the Crewe game, Doncaster game at home. He's got such a wide range of passing. He's got a shot on him. He makes loads of tackles throughout the game. And obviously, he was like our marquee signing, wasn't he? When we were allowed to quickly make a couple of signings before the wage cap came in. And you looked at his pedigree, you thought, oh, he's just won player of the year twice in 2 years at MK Dons. And you thought, oh, here we go, he's a really good player here. And then unfortunately, he got that injury, didn't he? And then when he come back, he just wasn't the same player. And I think Bowyer mentioned it, that he went through a few personal issues. I think he wasn't living around the area, finally managed to move down and be a bit closer to the training ground and stuff. And yeah, he's been brought back in under Nigel, back from injury. And as you said last week, I think we mentioned that last week he kind of had you didn't really notice him as much, but I think he really nullified the threat of Bostock last week, who was their main playmaker. And yesterday, I think he did that again in the middle. He nullified their threats in the middle, stopped them playing through the middle. And yeah, he was a little bit lucky with the goal, wasn't he? It was kind of a touch that bounced off both his feet, and then he composed himself and put it between the keeper's legs, which was really good to see. If there was a player in the team that needed that boost, it was him. And you could see the club put out a really good video of of a camera behind the goal, which shows all the players running over to him and shouting at him and laughing, which was good to see. And then they realised, oh, are you actually injured there, Alex? But really pleased for him. And I think we've got a good player there. And he, look, he must be a good player, must be seen to be good in training, because Shinny, people are looking at him thinking, should he be dropped for Gilby? And Adkins is saying, well, no, he's doing a good job there for me. So he's keeping you out at the moment. And same with Albie Morgan, he's not getting in the team. So we have got a bit of competition there in the middle of two players that have done well recently in Morgan and Shinny. So hopefully his performance keep coming like that. And now he's got a goal, he might have a bit of confidence to have a few shots, because I know he's got that in his bag.
Yeah, I remember him hitting the crossbar from range at home in that Donny game, actually. But, I mean, how about DJ as well? Darling Jai Simi, Terry. Now, I feel, you know, I was really excited when we signed him, and it's, you know, I've seen bits and pieces, but I feel that the last 2 weeks, again, he's really come into his own. I mean, like Jaden Stockley should hang his head in shame for taking away that assist from him, because he deserved it with that great wing play. But a couple of times he cuts in and out, doesn't he? That footwork he's got bamboozles defenders. Of course, he's a winger. That means there's going to be indecision and decisions made that aren't quite right. But I don't think I've ever known a winger who hasn't been like that. So I'm really excited by the performances we've seen from him the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's grown into it as well, isn't he? Just every now and again, you see a turn that completely loses his man and his way and clear. And then after he's done that, there is a little bit of indecision at times where he looks up and he wants to, after he's done what he sees as the glory touch or the glory move, he wants to then, you know, pass the ball in and let somebody else crack on. There was a time in the second half, I think, where it was Jaden Stockley sent him through, just a little bit behind him, and you just wanted him to go on and take the man on and really go for it. And just then he just thought, maybe not, maybe I'll just play safe. And you can understand that, by the way. It's perfectly understandable that a player, especially a young player, would do something like that. But you can just see that there is a player there, and that's the key thing. And I think we've got a good player there for the next few years, and that's what's important. You know, he'll contribute now, but then I think next season and maybe the season after is when you'll see the real best out of Jai Simi. I think he's a really good talent.
Mm. Right, so, I mean, we've talked about the game. I'm sure there'll be more comments when we get to the emails. But, I mean, that top six then, Benji, we're 1 point outside it. Tuesday is going to be interesting because there's a lot of games in this division. Lincoln due to play Milton Keynes. They're the side just above us. Ipswich, who are they playing? They're away at AFC Wimbledon, who had a fantastic win the other day. Oxford are a few points behind us, 3 points behind us. Who are they playing? They're at home to Shrewsbury, who have, you know, picked up some results, I guess, recently, I think. I mean, obviously, Oxford did win 6-0 yesterday, so they'll probably be in a fairly good mood. But, I mean, Tuesday is going to be fascinating. After that, you know, the cards are on the table. We know where we are and what we have to do.
We do. I was definitely part of the club of that. I thought playoffs was out of the picture. I thought we were too inconsistent. But now, I don't know what Mr. Tom Wallin's saying, because I know he was definitely saying we had no chance. But now I'm starting to believe. I mean, two great away performances. But obviously, our next game's at home where we have struggled. But obviously, Nigel Adkins has never taken charge for a game at the Valley. So easily could turn around fortunes and try and make it a fortress for us now. But I'm not really, I mean, it might come back to bite me, but I'm not too worried about Ipswich. I mean, they had a new manager come in and he's not really had much of a new manager bounce. They've been very inconsistent. I know the Rochdale game last week, I think it was Easter Monday, they didn't even have a shot on goal. And again, as you said, did you say they were playing Wimbledon? And Wimbledon are one of those sides that they always manage the last few games to stay up. They battle really hard. And look at them yesterday. A great victory for them yesterday.
Yeah, against an Accrington side that are falling off a cliff as well. I mean, it just goes to show that it's still wide open as well, which is really... Look, Accrington, you know, remember how scared we were of them when they had four games in hand on us? They've played the same amount of games now and they're still 5 points behind us.
When we played them on Sky, do you remember? Sky, like, loved them. Mm. Bigging them up so much. Oh, look at Accrington, blah, blah, blah. It was a bit like that. David Lloyd on there, the cricketer, saying how much he loved them. And it was just like, oh, hang on a minute. It's very early doors. And now, as you say, they're 12th. Doncaster have fallen. Gillingham have somehow played 41 games. So I can't see Gillingham catching up. I mean, we got two games and add over them. But yeah, the key will be Lincoln. I think they come down from back. They were 2-0 down, weren't they, against Blackpool yesterday. So they got a 2-2 draw there. That'll give them momentum, I guess. That'll give them a big boost. But then again, that might have knocked Blackpool's confidence. So it's all there to play for. Portsmouth losing to Burton. That's what I mean. You're playing teams down the bottom. Just because we've got teams up the top, I'd rather be playing the teams up the top. Let's take points off them lot. And we then gain ascendancy over them. I think if you're playing teams down the bottom, the players' head switch off a bit, don't they? And they kind of think, we're bound to win this one. But yeah, I'm more than happy. I'm really backing us now. I think, again, it'll be interesting to see if we can break the home hoodoo and try and get some points going at home. But I'm going for us now. I am. And I've always said Nigel Adkins would do it. I've said it for years.
Yeah, anyone remembers Benji's... dug out one of Benji's tweets from about 10 years ago where he was slagging off Nigel Adkins because I can't even remember. He didn't like his voice or something, Benji. You're racist against Scousers. Right, let's hear from the man. Benji, turn your feed off for a bit. Spoke to Nigel Adkins after yesterday's 2-1 win up at the stadium. Like, asked the Charlton boss what he made of the performance.
It is a big win. You know, we've come away from home. You know, Sunderland are a good side, and that was demonstrated today. They've got chances of the top two. So to come away from home and win 2-1, could have scored some more. Thought we could have had a penalty with a handball, where Jaden's got a header and the players handballed it. We've hit the post. Jaden Stockley, open goal, really. He's hit the post and the header. Nice little cross from DJ. We've hit the post in the first half. Thought we had a great opportunity in the first couple of minutes as well, with a great cross that we talked about. Really pleased with the two goals we did score, because obviously set pieces, I think, were a threat. And Ryan Innes scoring from one we worked on the training ground. And obviously we thought we could maybe expose them a little bit in their left-back position from the throw-ins. And we scored that and getting a blindside midfield player to go and score. And Alice Gilby done that. So a couple of things we talked about in preparation for the game was good. But I must say we've had to show them that resilience and that grit to come away from home, play against a good side. And we've had to defend resolutely. To see, especially when we've gifted them the goal to make it 2-1 and make it a little bit more exciting. But our goalkeeper's played well. He's made some good saves. He's come and caught some good crosses. Sunderland crossed the ball more than anybody else in the league. So we knew he'd have to do that, and the centre-half's heading the ball. But, you know, you break it all down. We've got so much more to give, especially in possession of the football. However, we've come away from home. This is the important stage of the season now, where results are everything. And we've come away from home. And we've got another good victory, another 3 points. It puts us well and truly in the race for them final playoff positions.
Yeah, I mean, someone might look at a 2-1 win away at a big club like Sunderland and assume it must have been a bit of a smash and grab, but it didn't feel like it. Charlton could have scored more quite comfortably today.
Well, as you rightly say, we could have scored more, especially at the end as well, if we'd taken a little bit more care in our counter-attack as we'd broke away, because we knew there'd be some spaces there. Because obviously, as the game's gone, Sunderland have got to put more players forward and leave themselves vulnerable to the counter-attack. And I must say, I was really pleased with the players, because they've shown that grit and resilience, and you know, we've managed the game to give ourselves an opportunity to win it. And well done to all the players. Yeah. And the coaching staff. You know, I've got Johnny Jackson and Jason Newell, just to name but two, and all the medical staff. Everyone's working really hard at the football club, and you know, we've all got a contribution, and really pleased that we've come away from home. We had a big following on the from the social media, on the Valley Pass, the live streaming. So the Charlton fans watching it from home. It would have been great if we'd had a full stadium, because it would have been a great atmosphere for both sets of supporters. But it's great that our supporters for today can enjoy the victory. I'm sure Sunderland are going to have some good days as well, because they're a good footballing side.
You mentioned how tight that playoff race is. It's probably going to go down to the wire. I think we might see a more realistic table again after Tuesday as well, when teams have games in hand.
Well, listen, as we said, there was going to be a disparity in games, but we're a lot closer now, you know. So from my point of view, we're on a good momentum. We're building that momentum. We've got a good spirit about ourselves, which had to be demonstrated today, that resilience. So that's going to take us a long way. And obviously, we've got a very tough game again. They're all tough to look forward to at the weekend. But we've got a week to prepare for that. So that's going to be very, very important for us.
You already mentioned Ben and the backline, but I wanted to ask about DJ, because I think we've seen him really come out of his shell in the last few weeks as well. What did you make of him today?
Very good. As I say, there was one situation there where he's crossed it for Jaden Stockley. You know, he could have shot himself, but he's put it on a plate for Jaden. He's hit the post, hasn't he, with his header? He would have thought 9.9 times out of 10 he would have scored. But unfortunately, it's at the post and it's gone. It's not gone in the back of the net. But again, he's a young player. He's a young man who we're trying to introduce and just keep building his confidence and getting him playing. And the more he plays, the better he's going to go and get.
Do you think a victory like this sends a bit of a statement to the rest of the sides in the race for the top six?
Well, I think the important thing is it just demonstrates that we're not in the playoff position now. We knew we had a catch-up with all, as you just touched on, the disparity in league games. But we're well and truly in the mix with... How many games have we got left to go?
Seven. Six, man.
Seven games to go, we're in the mix, which is we're in the race, and that's the important thing. So we've got the momentum. We have to keep winning the games. But today, we've backed up the excellent victory against Doncaster the week before to go and get a valuable 3 points today against a very good side. Fantastic stadium, you know, the statue of the football club. So I'm delighted that we've gone. And as you rightly say, it wasn't a smash and grab because we've created some good opportunities to maybe have scored some more goals.
Yeah. As you'll find out as you become Charlton manager, there's always injury news, unfortunately, to talk about. That's been the case the last few seasons. Can we ask about Chucks, who was missing today? I understand he's picked up a slight groin problem.
He did. He felt his groin. He obviously came on at, against Doncaster last week. He had the final 10 minutes and he presented with a slight groin issue. So he's not trained with us this week. He's obviously been... We've got excellent medical staff. So he's been in his care. So I'm hoping he can be on the grass with us this week and maybe be available for the weekend. That's what we're after. We think it's only a very minor situation, so all being well. I would say we've got to manage everybody. You know, Akin, for example, you know, we had a little feeling something the week before. We've managed him through the course of the week. If needs had been, I could have had him on the bench or even started him today. But what we've got is another week to get him a lot better in respect of all the games that we've got coming up.
From that defensive display, I guess you've got lots of options there as well. You know you're going to step up to the plate. So.
Well, we need that because the games are going to come thick and fast and we need everybody contributing. But as you've seen, there's a spirit, there's a resilience, there's a togetherness. And we need that. If we want to achieve something, we need that. I think we're a threat going forward. I'd like us to be better in possession of the ball, but that's something we'll work on. And you can't do everything in one hit. But, you know, for me, we've got a... You know, we've got something about ourselves that we've got to keep building on, which is good.
Just a very final one on Ben. I mean, you mentioned he's claiming of crossing. I think that's been his strength in the spells we've seen him at Charlton. Yeah. Were you impressed with him?
Well, that was important. We know he's good at doing that. I think he made a real good save in the first half. But we know Sunderland put the ball in more than anybody else in the division. They cross it more than anybody. So can we stop the cross? Sometimes it's very challenging to go and do that, but can you deal with a cross? And as I say, you want your centre-halves to go and head it, or the back four to go and head it, land on the second balls, and you want your goalkeeper to be commanding behind him. And he's done what's expected of him, which is good, you know? So, really, really pleased.
Thanks, Nigel. Well done today.
Nigel, when you look at the overall situation at the top of the division, how do you assess it now?
Oh, listen, I've been here before, having been promoted three times from this division. You know there's going to be weird results. Everyone gets nervy, everyone gets edgy. From my point of view, we've got everything to play for. You know, all to gain, nothing to lose. Because at the start of the season, no one expected us to be in this situation. You could see maybe we were off the playoff pace, but we're in there now.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's exciting.
Edginess, that's an interesting word. Did you sense that from Sunderland at all today?
No, not at all. I mean, Sunderland are in a situation. They've got good players. They've got a good team. You know, there's an experienced manager in there, and they're going to win a lot of games between now and the end of the season. I'm just really pleased that we've shown that we've got something about ourselves. Yeah. You know, we've had to explain it, if you like, and show a bit of resilience at times, and we've done that.
Yeah.
But we've got a goal threat. So from my point of view, it's Sunderland are going to be challenging for the top two. You know, it's fair to say, but we've put ourselves in a position to be in the race, which is good.
Just bunch of time for me, it's the last question.
Yeah, having been through the situation, what are the key elements, you know, the key characteristics that you need in April?
You need to have that togetherness, you need to have everyone singing off the same sheet, you need to be able to score goals, and you stick it one end and keep it out the other. It's rocket science,
but is there anything else?
It's simpler than that, and again, everyone gets edgy, and the expectation, you're going to find, like, the expectation of a big club like Sunderland, as an example, a big club like Charlton, maybe not so this season because of where the football club was before they knew when it came in, but a big club like this shouldn't be in League One. So the fan base is phenomenal, isn't it? You know, both. So it's kind of like, we should be in the Premier League, not in League One, trying to get out of it. So you're always going to have that bit of uncertainty, which is human nature.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, you know? And it's difficult. So,
sorry, can I just ask, you had the same team last week again, and this week again, playing against two very different teams. Doncaster was a lot more open, Sunderland, there was a lot of pressure today. Do you think that's shown that team can be your first 11 almost for the remainder of the season?
Well, I've been here for 3 weeks now, so obviously I'm assessing the players, which is important. We've tried to start some principles, you know, and obviously you always start with your defence. I would have loved us to have played. We've been doing a lot of work on our in-possession play. That's not been demonstrated. You've got to give the opposition credit for that, and we've got to be better at doing that. But you can't do it all in one go. But we've got a togetherness and we've got a spirit, and it helps when you're picking the points up, which is important.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cassie swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down. Bogle touchdown. Bradley! Smacks it in! And Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down. Bogle touches it. And Darren Pratley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to Rob, leave them behind. A little boy that's fell on who said I hate people. Charlton Live.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. We're looking back at that fine 2-1 win up at the Stadium of Light yesterday. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins, probably looking forward to finally having a home game, actually, isn't he? He's all three of his games so far have come away from home, but he's unbeaten 7 points out of nine since he's come into the club. Terry, what have you noticed changed since he's come in? What do you think has been the difference? I mean, don't forget, we were on a bit of an unbeaten run before he came in anyway, you know, under Lee. But, you know, have you noticed any tangible changes since Nigel's come in?
It's a difficult one to put your finger on, really. I think you could just, I mean, generally his outlook is so positive that must rub off, mustn't it? It just must, convey itself to the squad the way Nigel Adkins is. I think you could say he's been a little bit lucky with the return of Ryan Innes at the time that Ryan comes back, because he does make a difference at the back. But he's also brought, when you consider, he's also brought Alex Gilby in when for the most part he looked like he was just on the periphery. Put Martson a bit further forward on the right hand side when I don't think that would have been in the frame. He brought Ben Purrington back at left back. So he's done some little tweaks. And I think just generally his demeanour, and it's amazing what confidence can make, or the difference that confidence can make to a side. You know, whereas 2 months ago we didn't look like we could win a game, certainly at home, and maybe home is the test here, because you know we have done quite well away from home the whole season. It's not just a recent thing. So the big test will be at home, and can we replicate that kind of form at the Valley next week at Ipswich? And if we can, then that's. You can see then that there will almost certainly have been a Nigel Adkins effect, because that's been our Achilles heel this season.
Certainly. Right. Let's have a look at some of the tweets and the emails that have come in to the show. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us @charltonlive if you want to get involved with a future show. Next one should be on Thursday. Right. Will says, look like we had some very good results going our way yesterday afternoon. It was a very good win. Ben says it's quite funny how the run that Lee Bowyer spoke about for most of this season has ended up happening as soon as he left. It would only happen at our club, a day in the life of a Charlton fan. Yeah, I guess so. But at the same time, like I said, we were on a little bit of an unbeaten run, I guess. But this is the first time we've had back-to-back wins, isn't it? As Ben probably pointing out there, and since November, which is crazy, and early November at that. The last time we won back-to-back league games were games 5 and 6 of that six-game winning run, the Portsmouth away and Fleetwood at home. It just seems like an absolute lifetime away now, doesn't it? So, yeah, that run that we needed certainly going up a notch a bit at the moment. Right, Dara says a great win today. It seems like the kind of game we would have conceded late on in and drawn earlier in the season. Adkins' positivity is definitely rubbing off on the players. Right, next one's from Richard. Really good performance and win. Huge credit to Nigel Adkins and the whole team. We look like a team with a plan and desire again. Having Ryan Innes back is a massive plus. And Ben Amos played a blinder. Most importantly, everyone played their part. Yeah, actually, Ben, I'd ask you about the impact that Ryan has. I mean, because obviously, what we have seen over the last few weeks as well is Jason Pearce, you know, really playing well alongside either Akin or Ryan. I mean, have we almost singled out the fact that you need a, if Piercy has a strong partner next to him, then he tends to play better? And do you think maybe we did find that when there was a little bit of indecision or you know, a Deji alongside Jason, that there wasn't that confidence in the pairing and it wasn't really working? But now Deji's sort of out of the picture, that Piercy's got back to his best. Or am I oversimplifying it there?
I think Jason's had a good game for a while now. I think he's been playing really well. The Wimbledon game, it was a little mistake, wasn't it, by Famwo, probably inexperienced. He's still young. I think he's only 21, 22. Maybe having a big no-nonsense defender next year brings out the best in him. You know what each other's going to do, kind of thing. I know Atkins, as I said, he's young, growing into the game. Deji, he had a couple of good games, didn't he? But he just always, I think we said it before, he always looks like he's got a ricket in him. You're just unsure about him. But I think every performance we've seen from Ryan, he just looks so assured. And he makes his build count. He pushes himself around the ball. He doesn't let a player get any space around him. So him and Pierce are quite like each other. So maybe that works. But I'm glad Akin's not being brought back in, because I just think you've got to look forward to next season as well. And these two have been playing well and these two will be with us next season. Whereas Famwell will go straight back to Norwich, and whether we get him back, I don't know. But you kind of got to look towards that and just building up partnerships with Amos and with Purrington and Matthews. Again, I thought he had a really good game again yesterday. He really kept them quiet down the side. And I think we said before, if Purrington has a quiet game, it's a good game, because he stops them coming down the wings and making crosses in. And he was so key to us when we got promoted the year 2018, wasn't it?
Yeah. Interesting, actually, you mentioned about them being next here, because I think Piercy's up, isn't he, till the end of the year? But you know, maybe if a month ago or 2 months ago you were wondering if he would get renewed, at this stage, you'd think it's more likely than not that he'd get a contract renewal?
You'd like to think so. I mean, I don't think he's alone. I think there's a few contracts up for discussion and for negotiation. You do wonder whether it'll depend what division we're in. I think most Charlton fans would just say, especially... I didn't get the stick that Jason Pearce was getting from some quarters earlier on, because he's a colossus at the back for us. I think he's a leader, he's a skipper, a genuine skipper as well. So I'd want him around the club, even if we did, you know, let's say we go up and we get three or four other players that maybe even better. But as a club captain, as a skipper, I think I'd like to see him about for a while yet. And I think he deserves his place as well, to be honest. At the moment, he's well worthy of his place, and I don't see that change. I think even in the Championship, he could do a job. But you don't know. Nigel Atkins, you know, he's in. He's inherited a side, but of course, whether we go up or we don't, he's going to have to. He's likely to put his own stamp on things, and it'd be interesting to see how far-reaching that might have to be whether that's, you know, remember Chris Powell making, was it up to 14, 15, 16 changes to get a side that he wanted, whether that's in Nigel Aitken's mind, who knows. But personally, I think he's worth a place, and I think I'd like to see him stay.
Yeah, it'd be very
regardless of where we are.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what happens. And Alex says that Charlton are literally going up. Sam Day says the players gave everything, and Adkins got his tactics and game management spot on. Good to see the team didn't sink back after going 1-0 up. If we beat Ipswich next week, then I will start believing that we can go up this season. Right, Reg says Ben Amos 3 or 4 quality saves. That on another day are goals, and nobody would have blamed him had he let them in. The goalkeeping equivalent of a hat trick. Not sure what that's called. Oh yeah, we haven't got a hat trick for a goalkeeper, really, have we? We'll have to come up with something for that. Right, Daniel says a fantastic team performance. Amos was easily man of the match. Dressing room looking like it's very strong. That's a good point. Yeah, and Tash says, after Phillips left, I was unsure Amos would come anywhere near being as good, but he's definitely proved me and others wrong. Bar the mistake yesterday, he's been fantastic lately. I mean, what would you say of his season so far, Ben Amos, Ben? Because, I mean, you know, obviously we've conceded a lot of goals from long range. I've not really been one to think that the majority of them were Ben Amos's fault. I don't think he, I mean, he's definitely had some bad goals that he shouldn't have conceded. I think a long range one on the game that Jacko was in charge against Bristol Rovers, he got wrong footed. One against Doncaster at home, and there was one maybe Swindon at home quite early on where I think Matthews got turned inside out, but then Amos got beat his near post. I think it was Swindon, it could have been Plymouth. But overall, I don't think he's done too badly this season. But obviously yesterday, when he's doing which I think has been his greatest strength throughout the entire time, the two spells he's been with us, is claiming crosses, claiming corners. When he's asked to do that a lot, then he's certainly going to shine, and that's what he did yesterday.
Yeah, I think if you were to look for his main attribute over someone like Dylan Phillips, is he controls his area well, and yesterday he did that extremely well. Looking overall at his season, I say he's in my top three for player of the season. He's done really well this season. I think he's probably gone under the radar, probably because we've given away some silly goals, which haven't been down to him. But then people obviously see us conceding goals and the defence as a whole letting us down, that you kind of forget about his crucial saves in games that have kept us in it or kept the score down. As you said, there was that goal where he was wrong-footed, which kind of, he'd probably take the blame for that one. And maybe yesterday he didn't need to rush off his line so quick. He could have trusted his defence. But for someone overall who I think I said I said a few times on the show that last season he only played one game, and he's come straight into this season with barely any pre-season, and I think he's been a consistent performer. And you've got to remember, how many times have our back four chopped and changed? And he's had to try and build new relationships with them. You've got to know what your defenders are doing, tell them what to do. I think he's been a real key, consistent performer for us. And look, he's made a couple of mistakes, as every goalkeeper will. But I think yesterday he really shone out, and people look back at games now and kind of think, oh no, you know what? I think he has had a good season. He has done well.
Excellent stuff. Right, next tweet comes in from Robert. Says, a monumental performance and really enjoyable / tense. I was so tense at the end there. The highest quality game I've seen us play. I would love to know how many aerial balls went into our box. 4 wins and a draw to get the magic 75 points. We are very much in the mix. So Richard says, has Ben Watson played enough games to trigger an extension? I'm curious that he hasn't featured at all under Nigel. It would have been ideal in the closing stages. Yeah, well, Richard Corley did report about 3 weeks ago that he already has. Lee Bowyer said, I think he will be here next season. I'm sure that he's played enough now to trigger that cause. So, well, that's Lee saying I'm sure, rather than, like, yeah, it sounded like he's guessing there, actually. But, well, if Bo said that, you'd assume so. But you're right that he hasn't been involved. What I do find interesting, I don't know if you've picked up on this, is that of all the players out there, Nigel seems to speak to Ben Watson quite a lot. He seems to give him tips or ask questions of him. I don't know if you've noticed that. Every time that Ben goes out to warm up, he always speaks to Nigel, and vice versa, much more than any of the other, like, he's an experienced pro. I guess that's why.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I've necessarily noticed, but you're right about the experienced pro bit, because he is. And I think Nigel's already gone on record as saying that, you know, we've only, whatever games we've got left now, is it 7 or 8? I can't remember. But with injuries, you're going to need the whole squad are going to play a part in the next lot of games, or the games right up to the end of the season. So, why wouldn't you call on somebody like Ben Watson, who's had a vast amount of experience at the top level, as well as now in League One? So he'd be right to call on the experience of all of these people, you know, even, of course, Johnny Jackson and, of course, Jason Yule. But your senior pros, they've been there, done it. So you'd be right to ask their opinion on certain things. So, and maybe it's just a case of, because he does seem to be like a people person, Nigel, and I'm not going to put you on because of this, rather than just let them sweat on the sideline and wonder why they're not getting on. Maybe it's just a case of, look, you know, the situation doesn't warrant me changing things in your position at the moment, and that's why I'm not putting you on. So either way, whether it's for tips or he's just keeping him up to date and up to speed with why he's doing what he's doing, is either way, it's a good thing.
Well, very interesting. Mina says, did we invite more pressure by taking off an attacking DJ for a defensive Gunter? Sunderland then scored and we were left hanging on in a game that at one point looked like it was going to be a comfortable win. Well, it's interesting because, when Martsen went off yesterday as well, wasn't there like quite a defensive player that came on as well? I mean, was... Do you think... I mean, it's always the case, obviously... Miller came on, didn't he? As well, so yeah, we still did have an out boy. It is always the case that you naturally get a little bit defensive, when you're hanging on, and obviously something. I can't remember the last time I watched a game where a team didn't do that. So who knows? I mean, obviously Nigel was pleased with what he achieved at the end of it. So maybe that's all that counts. Right, Lewis says we're absolutely solid again. A really dogged and determined display. Nigel got the shape and the selection spot on again. Long may this good form and confidence continue. In London, Innit Geezer says, whether this league is weak or not, to go to Sunderland unbeaten in 14 and win was a great achievement. Charlton are now unbeaten in 8. Teams will not want to play a strong squad at this level. Anike, Morgan, Fainwo not involved. Miller, Shinny, Watson on the bench. It bodes very well. Martin says he totally agrees with London Innit Geezer. I think we will definitely make the playoffs now. Right, let's have another quick break. When we come back, we've still got a couple of emails to come to. And, of course, we have to talk about the news that the Alan Kirbishley stand is going to become a thing at the Valley as of next season. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes. It's a shot! Oh, great free kick! The power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's past him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half-time, make it 2. That you're gonna be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest. Charlton Live. Well, welcome to the final part of this week's Charlton Live. I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. It's very easy to enjoy it when we've got a result like we did yesterday up at the Stadium of Light. So tense, wasn't it, late on, Terry, that Brownie's leg nearly fell off.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, I think Brownie's knees are worse condition than mine, for obvious reasons, because of what he's done in his career. So climbing up that stand would have taken it out of his knees anyway, as it did mine. So it's not too unlikely that when things get a bit tense and you're sitting in a prone position, as we are for 90 plus minutes, that the excitement's going to get you, and he just cramped up there just towards the end. But I'm sure he wasn't alone. I mean, if I'd have tried to move, I probably would have had the same problem. But yeah. I tend not to even attempt it. So it was reasonably amusing, to be fair. Yeah. And then of course he had to try and make his way down the stairs because it came right at the end, and he had a train to catch. So he was. I hope he made it all right. I didn't check.
Still in Sunderland apparently. Right, let's have a look at the emails. Hello to Adam Biggs from the Upbeats. Was pleased to see that Charlton got the 3 points and wants them to get in the playoffs and go back to Wembley. Certainly want a repeat of a couple of years ago. Adam, don't we write McSquared? Says, hi guys, a superb, crucial and fully deserved win at the Stadium of Light against a side that have been in the mix for automatic promotion. I reckon that the Black Cats must dread playing us as they come out second best against us so often, especially in pivotal matches. In terms of the significance of yesterday's game and the fact that Sunderland had gone so many unbeaten, I say it was our most impressive result of the season so far, especially as we were missing our two best goal-getting strikers in Anike and Washington. Staying that, Stockley led the line fantastically and was literally head and shoulders above the Sunderland back line. Apart from that absolute sitter that he missed, he had a superb game, as did the entire side. Martson was very effective as an attacking option, and Giasimi is looking better and better. Most impressive of all, however, is that we're now looking very solid and consistent, which must have a lot to do with Adkins' tactical nous. It was a good quality match in general, and Amos pulled off some superb saves. Even with the goal that was conceded late on, I felt he was a tad unlucky with how the ball fell to hit to them after the initial block. Sunderland were definitely in with a shout of ultimately earning a point, but we defended well at the death to deny them. We're definitely now looking like genuine playoff contenders, and for the first time, I would say it's now in our hands when you look at the remaining games. Could yet get another Charlton-Sunderland Wembley showdown beyond the cards. The Charlton TV coverage was excellent yet again, especially with the dream team of Kerbs and Lenny with Scotty. Let's hope that lineup is repeated in the not-too-distant future. Yeah, we've spoken about how Sunderland must absolutely hate the sight of us. The fact we look more solid at the back now, Ben, how much of that is down to Nigel and his tactics, and how much is that down to the fact that we've got Ryan Innes back?
Yeah, I think massively down having Ryan Innes there. I think he provides a real force there in the back line. I mean, imagine if you're a striker coming up against him. I mean, you definitely wouldn't want to meet him down a dark alley, would you? He's a big old geezer. But as well, he's such a threat in our box and in the opposition box, which we saw. I won't go back about the goal because obviously I lost some... Well, I didn't lose money, but I would have won some money.
Well, you have lost. You lost £3.
I lost... yeah, you're right, actually. £3's a lot of money as a window cleaner, I tell you. but no, yeah, look, I think we just got to keep with him. We got to keep with it. Adam Matthews is a good right back. Ben Parrington's a good left back. We've seen it. We just got to keep... Keep the regular back four, you'll see good performances come from them. And I think they'll get to know each other and it'll keep coming. But yeah, I think Innes is a real force there. And as I said, he's going to be, could be a future captain for us. He's going to be there for a while now, Ryan Innes. He's had a few clubs, hasn't he? He's gone on loan a few times, had a bit of a checkered pass and stuff like that. Hopefully now he can settle down, get his head down. And Jason Pearce, captain leadership around him can only help and guide him and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it definitely helps having that regular centre-back pairing. And as I said, I think Jason Pearce, he's done so well lately. And I think you and Tell were just saying then, would he get a new contract and that? I'd definitely give him a new contract. I think he's proven himself now. Mm. And going into these last few games, let's hope these performances continue.
Yeah, well, yeah, that, as I said, it'll be interesting. Well, Andrew says, Dear Charlton Live, just been looking at the fixture list for the running. We do have the toughest set of opponents on paper. Portsmouth have an easy running against lower teams, but at the moment, they all have a chance of staying up. So which ones will put up a strong fight? Yeah, we saw that yesterday with Burton. Or I guess Burton have probably taken themselves a little bit out of that picture with that amazing run they've had since Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank went in there. Yeah, they're sitting 10 points above a relegation. That's incredible. What a job he's done. And so he says, one of the twists of this season is with postponed games, Oxford play Shrewsbury home and away, as do Peterborough with Doncaster, Ipswich and AFC Wimbledon. And interestingly, as Terry mentioned, Sunderland and Blackpool. Blackpool are in great form. I wonder if this will mean that Sunderland will be struggling to get into the playoffs. If we do get into the playoffs, given the strength of the opposition, we will have to be really sharp. I mean, yeah, I mean, so Sunderland are how... They're, 9 points clear of us. So you'd think they should be okay for playoffs. But it does pose a lot of questions with sides. You have to play sides twice. And, I mean, the thing that's obviously been a recurring theme throughout this season is Tom Wallin fuming about how poor League One is. Like, literally, he's shaken with rage that League One is very bad this season. I mean, this is part of the conversation me and him had yesterday. Look, Sunderland were this big team, and I thought Sunderland did okay, but we still went up there and beat them. You know, Peterborough, I was looking at Peterborough now, 5 points clear in second place. I was looking at their form this season, and, I mean, even their form over the last few weeks, where they've had, I think, 3 wins out of 4, but before that, they'd gone 1 win in 7? And they'd done that before, earlier on in the season, 1 win in 6 or 5? I mean... Everyone's rubbish, aren't they, Terry? Which, in a way, gives us a chance.
Well, firstly, yeah, you shouldn't be upset by the fact that this league's rubbish. You should be joyous of the fact that this league's rubbish. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in with a shout, because and that's, you know, that's all down to the salary cap and the transfer, in our case, a transfer embargo as well. Because what that does is it spreads the good players around the league, and in that respect, then I guess it does make it a little bit more even, because normally speaking, you'd expect the so-called bigger sides, or certainly those with the bigger purses, would have hoovered up all the best players, and so the likes of you wouldn't necessarily want to see or expect to see the likes of Lincoln, Blackpool, and prior to that, Doncaster and Accrington up in the frame, Gillingham as well, for example, to a lesser extent Oxford. You wouldn't necessarily see these teams up and in the frame for a playoff spot, or certainly competing with the bigger clubs, if that's the phrase you want to use, because those players wouldn't have gone there, because the other teams that could afford it would have offered the better players more money. Is that fair? Then, you know, because, you know, why should Charlton be penalised just because they've got a bigger gate, therefore bigger command, bigger transfer fees and bigger wages? Why should we be punished negatively? They'll be saying, well, why should we be punished? Because, you know, we should want to compete with everybody. The real world is that doesn't work, and it's clear it doesn't work, because, not being funny, if the likes of Lincoln, to a lesser extent Doncaster, I suppose, but Accrington, if they get promoted, you almost certainly know they're going to come straight back down, because they can't compete in the Championship, and that's what's happened with Wickham in this season. So, yes, it's a poorer league, but I think we should, rather than be frustrated about it, I think we should be overjoyed about the fact, because if it hadn't have been, we wouldn't even have a sniff now.
Yeah, don't tell Tom that Hull, who are now, what, 3 points clear at top and 8 points clear of third, only won two games out of eight in January, February. He'd be fuming. it's incredible. And I don't remember us having a run like that when we won League One in 2012, but that's the way it is. So, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating running. Now, we have to mention, before we end the show, the big news that came out over the weekend, the East Stand is to be renamed the Alan Kirbishley Stand. It's something that was first mentioned to me a couple of years ago, that they're thinking of an idea, or maybe about a year ago, and it's finally come to fruition now. I guess we've got an owner in place that is the person to do that, but I mean, it's about time, really. I know there's, you get one or two people who wouldn't like to see stands named after people, and obviously they've got their opinion, but in my opinion, I think it's a great idea. Ben, are you pleased to see that Alan Kirbishley, you know, he's going to have the East Stand, or as Nozzer on Twitter is going to call it, the Curbs? You're going to sit in the Curbs from now on?
I won't sit in the Curbs. I don't really like the East Stand, but thoroughly deserved. I mean, look, what he did for the club, he put us on the map, basically, didn't he? He made us from, like, a Championship club, Division 1 club, into a mainstay in the Premier League. In hindsight, he probably wouldn't have left when he did, really. Well, if you hear from him, he didn't want to leave when he did. He just didn't want to extend his contract. It was probably the wrong decision by the board. We should have given him given him that extra year and then made a decision over a long time period. But there you go. But what a manager. I mean, I started going as a little kid from 93 till... Well, until now, sorry. That was a bit weird. But
well, have you given up now because of how bad yeah. League One is?
Well, that's because Nigel Adkins, mate, can't stand the guy. No, but it was so weird to think of when I was 3 years old and started going till, what, he left when I was about 15, 16. We had the same manager. I mean, you couldn't say that nowadays at all. And when he left, I mean, I remember being at his last game at Old Trafford and everyone held up "Thanks, Kirbishley." It felt so surreal that we'd actually have another manager. But as I said, I mean, thoroughly deserved. He put us on the map. He made us who we are now. We're always looked at as a well-respected club. That stadium around him now with his East Stand was all built from what he did at the club. Like, his success at the club, the money he generated through the club, from the Premier League, selling on players, all came from him. And just listening to him every week is such a joy. He has so many great stories of how he managed the club, and I think he's a really good chap. And look, he's a West Ham fan at heart. That's why he chose to go there. And he did well there. He was mistreated when he at West Ham with the owner, and rightfully got compensated out of it. But really pleased. A real yeah. good chap, and I'm loving his Paddy Power adverts as well.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be the Alan Kirbishley stand sponsored by Paddy Power or something. I mean, Terry, first few years, should we call it the Alan Kirbishley and Steve Grit stand?
Controversial. Why not? I mean, it does throw up. I mean, firstly, you're absolutely, Benji was absolutely right. Alan Kirbishley, hugely well-deserved. Arguably one of our best managers ever, if not the best, for the success he brought the club. So everybody should be overjoyed, certainly Alan Kirbishley is, for having a stand named after him. You then start looking back and as to who else that might deserve one. I mean, Lenny made a great quip after he got told. He said, well, where's mine then? Because, you know, arguably without Lenny Lawrence and what he did for the club, we wouldn't we might not have a club to have a stand named after Alan Kirbishley, because it was in one of the worst periods of our time and our history. So I'd like to see Lenny rewarded, as is Keith Peacock's another one. You know, you could go, there's a huge list, but, you know, we shouldn't really be looking now saying, well, that's not fair, if, you know, we should be giving him a stand first rather than him. You know, let's just reward the fact or celebrate the fact that we've got somebody like Alan Kirbishley who was a legend for us as a manager and should be rightfully celebrated. And let's just enjoy that. And the rest can come later. And we can name all sorts of things after all sorts of people a bit later on. And I'm sure that we as a group can come up with a few, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that's our challenge then to the listeners. For in time for Thursday's big match preview, we want to know what area of the ground you would name after what person involved with the club. Now, obviously, Alan Kirbishley...
The Du Châtelet dungy?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, I mean, there's plenty of cubicles, isn't there, around the ground. So we could probably give out a few of there, the Jimmy Traore toilet or something like that. But, you know, that's your ideas in time for Thursday's big match preview. Let us know what you'd name after, who you'd name it after and what you would name it for. Right, we have gone well over time because we're absolutely purring after yesterday's 2-1 win up at the Stadium of Light. Massive win for the Addicts. Really are in that playoff race now. It's going to be a fascinating last seven games for the Addicts, five of which are at home as well. So, oh goodness me, let's hope we can sort that home format. Right, thank you to Benji and to Terry for joining me on this week's show.
Cheers, Louis.
Cheers, lads.
Good to have you both with me. I hope you've all enjoyed the show. We'll be back on Thursday with the big match preview. Don't forget to get your ideas in for that show, what you would name at the Valley, who you would name it after. I've been Louis Mendez. Thanks for listening, and we shall see you again in the week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.